The Patriot counterpoints to propaganda.
Truth, liberty, and the real American way.
You have now enlisted in the Denton and Sasquatch Show.
This is your beacon of truth in a world of liars, thieves, and whores. We are podcasting patriots taking the fight to the enemy, never taking freedom for granted because it cannot survive without protection. That is us, the Denton and Sasquatch Show. Our email, dentonandsasshow@gmail.com. We are calling on you to get involved, never back down, and never surrender the truth. Welcome to the DNS Show. I am Sasquatch, and he is Denton. But Denton is not here this evening. He's got allergies, I guess, so he couldn't make a wonderful show. So we're just going to do it without him. We're also on X at Denton and Sass if you want to join us there on the formerly known as Twitter. Let's see. I don't want to. Well, you know what? We say at the beginning of the show this is the beacon of truth, so I'm going to start off with some truth. You hear a lot of things from the left. You hear a lot of things from Biden. We just heard a bunch of crap from him at the State of the Union last week. I'm going to give you some facts. Here are some fun stats for you. Overall costs are up 17.9%. Energy is up 32.3%. Electricity is up 27.8%. Food is up 20.8%. And shelter, 19.4%. But tell us again, Joe, how good the economy is and how we're all better off. It is costing you $11,000 more to live today than it was to live under Trump. Just to live how you were living then under Trump is costing you $11,000 more. Now, most people are not making $11,000 more than when they were living under Trump. So that would mean you were living a lifestyle less than what you were living when you were living under Trump. Gas in my community is back to $4.42 a gallon. Yep, $4.42 a gallon. And gas prices are just going to keep going up. I have no doubt in my mind that Joe and the Democrats struck some deal with India, who we buy our gas from, but actually India buys its gas from Russia first, so we're really funding the war in Ukraine from both sides, but that's another story. But they're making the gas expensive again, so they can make a profit. They don't want to do without their profit. And then right before the election, gas will mysteriously drop back down to its lowest level. Just watch. I guarantee you it's going to happen. $4.42 a gallon today. That's California for you. Well, speaking of gas or hot air bags, I think I'm going to start things off with some clips. I'm going to play you some audio. These clips are kind of, well, not really old, but a little bit old. But I wanted to play them because I don't know if maybe you missed them or whatever. And they're interesting. So first we're going to start off with, I know, and I'm sorry for doing this to you, but we're going to start off with the hens at the View. This is Whoopi Goldberg.
You know, just let's look at a scenario where the Supreme Court says, yes, he has that. He has all those rights. He is immune from everything.
Yeah.
You know what Joe Biden could do since he is presently president?
What?
Whoa. He could throw every Republican in jail.
Yeah.
I mean, he could. I mean, no. This is not
because
a good thing.
What this means is
he could do anything.
Okay, so we all know she's an idiot, right? We know that. The dangerous part is she has millions of idiots watching her. Well, I don't know about millions, maybe hundreds of thousands, but, and they believe her. She has no, that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. But they believe her because she said it. Yes, Joe Biden can just arrest all the Republicans because he wants to and he has immunity. No. But presidents do have immunity. Barack Obama had immunity. Barack Obama, and the year slips my mind right now, but he killed Anwar al-Awlaki in Yemen and his son. Now, these dudes, at least Anwar, was probably not a good dude. He was probably planning terrorist stuff. But he hadn't been convicted of it. He didn't have a trial. And he was a U.S. citizen. He was just in Yemen at the time. So Obama used that loophole and snuffed him out with a drone strike. Now, you're thinking, okay, his kid was with him and his kid got hit. No. His kid got hit the next day. His kid was 15. Neither of them had been put on trial for anything or convicted of anything, and Obama snuffed them out. And like I said, maybe they were bad guys, but they had not been convicted in a court of law, and being American citizens, that is their right. So should Obama be tried and convicted for their deaths? I mean, under what they're saying about Trump and the immunity, I believe so. So, Whoopi. I'm not even going to take a stab at it. There's just so many you can do. All right, let's move on. Let's listen to, this is Chuckle Schumer. And we're going to listen to him. This is all the way back in November of 2022. And he's lobbying for the great replacement theory.
Now more than ever, we're short of workers. We have a population that is not reproducing it on its own with the same level that it used to. The only way we're going to have a great future in America is if we welcome and embrace immigrants, the Dreamers, and all of them, because our ultimate goal is to help the Dreamers, but get a path to citizenship for all 11 million or however many undocumented there are here. And we will be pursuing that in the next Senate.
All of them, he says. Sure, Chuck, let all of them in. And they can stay at your house. Now, wasn't it the Democrats who told American women, like long ago, this started way long ago, told American women they didn't need to have kids. They can do anything a man can do. To go out and get into the workforce, stop having babies. And now he's complaining that we're not having enough babies. So we need to let the illegals in. I mean, right there he said it. Right there he said it. You're being replaced. And they are betting that these replacements are going to vote for them. All right, moving on from one giant steaming pile of turd to another, let's talk about Biden for a little bit. He's had a lot going on lately. Bob Herr. He was testifying in front of Congress. And in his report about the documents for Biden, he said something to the effect of, well, Biden... clearly he did some criminal stuff, but from my interview with him, he's a doddering old man and no jury would find him guilty just because he's sad. But now, while they're grinding him on Capitol Hill, they keep talking about how great Biden is, how he's totally competent, right? Right? Well, if that's true, then he can stand trial for those crimes, can he? Just a thought. Okay, at the State of the Union last week, Republicans, mainly Marjorie Taylor Greene, badgered good old Joe into going off script. And he called the illegal that killed Lincoln Riley an illegal.
Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right.
Oh my God. He actually used the word. Yeah, he called him an illegal. So, of course, his handlers made him backtrack and go on some friendly news show and say, I would never say that. That's what Donald Trump says, stuff like that. And he's disgusting. He's a MAGA extremist. I'm not like that. I would never say that. So, no, he's an undocumented worker. Or an undocumented person, or undocumented body, I don't know, whatever. Called him undocumented. But no, he's an illegal. Sorry, came here illegal, crossed our border illegally, he's an illegal. Speaking of crossing our border illegally, we are not the only country being invaded by illegals. It's actually happening all over the world. Almost like it's orchestrated. WEF. WEF, sorry. But anyways, this is from the Wall Street Journal. Authorities in Europe say they have foiled several terrorist plots, some involving suspects posing as refugees, raising alarm about a growing array of threats from extremists, and not the MAGA kind. In one previously unreported investigation last December, police in Austria and Bosnia arrested two separate groups of Afghan and Syrian refugees who carried arms and ammunition, including Kalashnikov assault rifles and pistols. On Monday, Italian authorities said they had detained three Palestinians suspected of being members of, now, forgive me for this, Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade? I guess I got that right. Designated as a terror group by the U.S. and the European Union, the three were preparing to attack civilian and military targets in Europe. German prosecutors said Hamas had buried weapons underground in Europe years ago, but that the suspects, all long-standing Hamas members involved in the groups, wouldn't reveal where they were. So is it possible that they buried caches of weapons here? Yes, it's totally possible. In fact, it's most likely probable. And do you think that terror attacks are not going to happen here? Spoiler alert, they are. Another one of Biden's most recent, I guess you would call it musings. He's capped the price of insulin. Well, good for him. But like me, you may be asking yourself, well, how does he do it? He's a magician. I mean, handing over billions of dollars in profit to Pfizer didn't hurt, but, you know, that's another thing. This is the enactment of Medicare in 1965. The limited scope of the original Medicare benefits reflects the beating that President Harry Truman, a Democrat, took at the hands of American Medical Association after he introduced proposals for national health insurance between 1945 and 1948, and again after his election in 1948. The AMA launched a very well-funded and bitter attack on socialized medicine to defeat Truman and his congressional allies even after the Democrats regained control of the House of Representatives and the Senate in 1949. So there's a little history for you. Now this is from pharma.org. It's not bigpharma.org, it's just pharma.org. So I guess it's just a website that pharma people use. I don't know. But it says, let's take a closer look at why proposals to repeal the Part D non-interference clause are a bad idea. Now, this clause is exactly what Obama wants to repeal, or not Obama, Biden wants to repeal. Well, I'm sure it's Obama since he's pulling the strings. But this is what the Biden administration wants to repeal. And they put out a list of why it's a bad idea. Number one, there is a broad agreement the Secretary of Health and Human Services could not negotiate lower prices. Now, like me, you may, every time he says that, we can't negotiate, but I made it where we can. Well, now you'll understand why. The Secretary of Health and Human Services could not negotiate lower prices. The Congressional Budget Office has repeatedly found that the Secretary would be unable to negotiate prices across the broad range of covered Part D drugs that are more favorable than those obtained by prescription drug plans, PDPs, under current law. The Office of the Actuary at the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services has come to the same conclusion. Number two reason it's a bad idea. The Secretary's negotiations could risk beneficiaries' access to needed treatment options. In a report examining such proposals, the Kaiser Family Foundation noted CBO has said that in order to obtain price discounts, the Secretary would need the authority to establish a formulary that included some drugs and excluded others and imposed other utilization management restrictions. So basically what he's saying, or what they're saying, is that if he negotiated, he would only be able to negotiate with certain ones because I guess other ones wouldn't want to negotiate with him. So it would make the amount of diverse drugs smaller. Number three, government negotiation would disrupt effective negotiation and competition that already takes place in Part D. The Medicare trustees have consistently stated that rebates negotiated for brand medicines in Part D are substantial and have increased considerably over the past decade. In fact, drug rebates today amount to, on average, 26 to 30% of a drug's listed price. Interfering in existing Part D negotiations would undermine the success of the program. Rather than improving, if you haven't noticed, I can't talk tonight. Rather than improving affordability and predictability for seniors, repealing the non-interference clause could limit access to medicines, reduce choice, and restrict coverage for more than 45 million seniors, preserving successful competition and negotiation in the Part D program is critical. So, what that boils down to is Biden and the Democrats making it sound like a good thing when it very well could be a very bad thing for, 45 million seniors. And it's the usual, the boogeyman scenario where they're going to make it sound horrible just to get their way. And then once they do, it sucks. Kind of like Obamacare. All right. Another Biden thing we're getting into tonight is... Now, this one he's been talking about for a while, and he's now going to implement it. Sorry, need a little drink there. The Biden billionaire tax. As usual, this stuff is never as it seems with the Democrats. But let's see what his new tax the rich scheme is all about, shall we? This is from whitehouse.gov. President Biden's tax plan would build on this progress with reforms that will finally make the wealthiest Americans pay their fair share. Pay their fair share. Wealthy people. Isn't Hunter Biden under indictment for, actually, I believe it's 3 felonies and 6 misdemeanors for not paying his taxes? All right. Anyway. Requiring billionaires to pay at least 25% of income in taxes. Billionaires make their money in ways that are often taxed at lower rates than ordinary wage income, or sometimes not taxed at all, thanks to giant loopholes and tax preferences that disproportionately benefit the wealthiest taxpayers. Now let's think about that for a second. How did those loopholes and tax preferences get written into our tax law? Oh, I don't know, by people like Biden when he was in the Senate? Yes, they were put in there by the very people who are saying we need to tax the wealthy. But anyway, as a result, many of these wealthy Americans are able to pay an average income tax rate of just 8% on their full incomes. Now, who is George Marcus? Well, George Marcus is a San Francisco Bay Area real estate broker who's been in the business for over 40 years. I bet he gets loopholes. Most of his fortune lies in 35% stake of Marcus and Millcap, the publicly traded real estate brokerage he founded in 1971. Marcus and Millcap specializes in commercial real estate in the U.S. and Canada, closing nearly 9,000 transactions valued at $42.3 billion in 2016. Marcus also controls a 3% stake in Essex Property Trust, a REIT he founded that owns more than 60,000 apartments along the West Coast. Marcus also has a stake in several private real estate investment companies, including Summerhill Housing Group and Pacific Urban Residential. He is also one of Joe Biden's biggest donors. Yep. He is a billionaire worth $1.6 billion, and he is one of Joe Biden's biggest donors. Now, this guy is a real estate developer. Do you think he ever went to a bank and got a loan and overinflated the estimate of what his properties were worth to get that loan? I bet you he did. And I bet you he never got investigated like Trump did. I bet you he even did it in New York, because he does stuff all over the U.S. But, you know, it's only get Trump. It's not get any of Biden's donors. Well, do you really think that George Marcus is going to say to Joe when he's at one of the fundraisers, "Sure, Joe, I want to pay 25% more in taxes"? No, he's going to say, "I want special loopholes." just like all the Democrat billionaire donors, the Jeff Bezoses, the Mark Zuckerbergs, all these guys. I mean, if this were to be put into law, do you think any of those people would vote for him if they weren't going to get a loophole or somehow get out of it? There's no way. They would not back him. Taylor Swift, she makes billions of dollars. Well, I don't know about billions, but millions of dollars. One of the highest paid performers on the planet. Do you think she would be baking cookies for Joe Biden if he was going to make her pay 25% of her money in taxes? There's no way. All right, back to the article. Requiring the wealthy to pay their fair share toward Medicare to extend Medicare solvency, President Biden has a plan to protect Medicare for future generations by making the wealthy pay their fair share. There it is again, pay that fair share. Instead of cutting benefits or raising costs for beneficiaries, he would modestly increase the Medicare tax rate to an income above $400,000. Well, wait a tick. I thought he was only going to go after millionaires, not people with an income of $400,000. A lie from Joe Biden? How out of character for him. But wait, there's more. This is from the SocialSecurityAdministration.gov. Now, these are government websites, so it's not right-wing extremism or MAGA websites. No, this is straight from the government's mouth. If you have a higher income, you'll pay an additional premium amount for Medicare Part B and Medicare prescription drug coverage. We call the additional amount the income-related monthly adjustment amount. Here's how it works. Part B helps pay for your doctor's services and outpatient care. It also covers other medical services such as physical and occupational therapy, and some for home health care. For most beneficiaries, the government pays a substantial portion, about 75% of the Part B premium, and the beneficiary pays the remaining 25%. But wait, Joe, I thought you said the wealthy don't pay for Medicare and should pay their fair share. Your own government agency is saying you're a liar. Ensuring that the IRS can continue to collect taxes owed by wealthy tax cheats. After years of chronic underfunding, President Biden's IRA, Inflation Reduction Act, provided the IRS with resources it needs to finally crack down on wealthy cheats and corporations who too often avoided paying their lawfully owed taxes. If they were using loopholes, they were not lawfully owed. The IRS is already using these resources to collect hundreds of millions of dollars in unpaid taxes from delinquent millionaires. I thought he was going after billionaires, but okay. Recoup taxes from thousands of millionaires who did not fulfill their basic civic duty, like Hunter Biden, by filing a tax return and crack down on high-end tax evasion, like deducting personal use of corporate jets as a business expense, like Christopher Wray of the FBI. At the same time, the IRS is improving customer service, modernizing IT, and protecting small businesses and taxpayers earning less than $400,000. There's that number again, $400,000. What happened to the billionaires? And protect small business and taxpayers from whom? Cutting taxes for working families in the middle class, increasing the child tax credit for 66 million children. President Biden's expansion of the child tax credit cut child poverty nearly in half to historic lows and narrowed racial disparities in access to the credit in 2021. But congressional Republicans insisted on raising taxes on families with children by letting it expire. The president would restore the expanded child tax credit, lifting 3 million children out of poverty and cutting taxes by an average of $2,600 for 39 million low and middle income families. That includes 66 million children. President Biden would also permanently ensure that the kids of parents earning low wages receive the full child tax credit, making 18 million children newly eligible for the full credit. Now remember, right here on this show, when I told you 47.1% of Americans don't pay federal income tax, those are mainly people who get the child tax credit. And what else did I say? I said, once we hit that threshold of 51% of Americans not paying federal income tax, we are screwed. We then, when that happens, we then, by default, become a democracy. Remember, they're saving our democracy. Because the people that are getting stuff for free will then outnumber the people who are paying for that stuff, and they will never stop voting for free stuff. Do you see how the scam works? Okay, when we get back from the break, we are going to get into what in the hell is the matter with California. It's the DNS Show.
These are two good old boys, and not the Luke and Bo kind. More like the Roscoe and Enos kind.
You're listening to the Denton and Sasquatch Show.
Have you ever had an accident downstairs and thought, great, I just ruined another pair of underwear? Well, never fear, we've got the answer. If we didn't, would we have gotten the big guy to be our spokesperson?
Look, Jack, once you hit 80, you'll learn about the Brown New Deal. Depend's adult brief saved my life. I went from having a muddy insurrection in my slacks to confidence with my leaky oval orifice. Not a joke. When I meet Xi Jing meat sauce to peddle influence, I have to be dry and self-assured. Depend's adult underwear aren't very environmentally friendly, but they are made right here in America by Hondurans I brought here myself. I flew them straight to the factory. You know, I worked in a factory when I was a backup singer for Elvis. True story. This one time we met these gals and if you love chocolate ice cream but not in your shorts, buy new and improved. Depends on what? What am I saying here?
Are Denton and Sasquatch funny? No. Are they entertaining? Sometimes.
1, 2, 3, go. Welcome back to the Denton and Sasquatch Show.
Are they right? You bet your ass.
Welcome back to the DNS Show. Look at that. We're going big time. We've actually got sponsors now. What better sponsor than Depends? I mean, I use Depends myself. Not because I'm incontinent, but just because I hate getting up to go to the bathroom. So, you know. All right, this is an article. I don't even remember where I got this from. But it's from a liberal rag. And they're finally admitting that California is a shithole. Now, they're saying it's a shithole for all the wrong reasons, but they're finally admitting it. So the title is, What's the Matter with California? California is a land of contradiction as much as it is a land of promise. The wealthiest state and the state with the highest level of poverty. It carries tremendous social and political influence while serving as the butt of national jokes. It has tantalized generations of newcomers in search of fame and fortune, whether through the gold rush, Hollywood, or tech booms, while granting it to a disproportionate few, yet it has remained a beacon of hope to flock toward, until now. More than 800,000 Californians left the Golden State between 2021 and 2022. Last year, tens of thousands more were added to the tally. The drastic drop in population even prompted the state to lose a congressional seat for the first time in history. California has long been held as the core of population growth for the country, yet it also struggled with resident retention every year since the start of the new millennium. Population has naturally ebbed and flowed due in part to factors like international migration, a decrease in births, and, well, that's what Chucky was talking about, and an increase in deaths. But more recently, people fleeing to other states is the driving force for dwindling figures. The state now stands on an unprecedented precipice, one where its challenges outweigh its allure. The housing crisis, worsening crime, and climate concerns are at the forefront of the exodus. The state's housing and rental markets are among the costliest in the country, especially in southern cities like Los Angeles. The National Low Income Housing Coalition reports there are only 24 affordable and available rental homes for every 100 extremely low-income renter households statewide. How much do you think that number would change if we got rid of all the illegals? All right. Other metropolitan hubs like San Francisco have suffered an uptick in high-profile crime, from the fatal downtown stabbing of a tech executive to the carjackings and smashed store windows spreading across the city like a contagion. And while people struggle to find housing or fear for their safety, climate change introduces its own hurdles. Mm-hmm. Yeah, climate change. The state's sea level rises. Its wildfires worsen. Its Central Valley sinks lower into the ground and its water management whiplash. From severe droughts to dire floods further strains the resources. Okay, let's stop right there. The state's sea levels rise, or are rising. No, they're not. You know why I know they're not? Because water finds its own level, and the ocean is one big giant piece of water. So if they were rising here, they'd be rising everywhere else. But not only that, I've lived in California all my life. I have surfed in California almost all my life, and I continue to surf now. And when I go to the beach, I surf at a place called the Cliffs. And it's really, the ocean just runs into these cliffs. Now, the cliffs over time have been falling down from the ocean pounding against them, but the sea level has not risen at all. You can still see the same rocks, the same everything, whether it's, when it's low tide, when it's high tide, you don't see that stuff, but it's not rising. It's not. It's just not. And then as far as the wildfires, they make that sound like it's from climate change, but it's not. It's from poor forest management. And that's been proven time and time again, even though Gavin Newsom and everybody else continues to say, oh, it's climate change. No, it's not. It's from poor forest management. But anyway. Now, in true Democrat fashion, this article goes on and on and on and on forever. And I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but basically what they're saying in here is the housing crisis is causing homelessness. No, it's not. We are the state with the largest homeless population. And 30% of the nation's total, even though California is just 12% of the population. So that means that we have 30% of the nation's homeless people here in California, but we're only 12% of the population. These people are coming from other states. And the reason they're coming from other states is because California has great weather. Would you want to be stuck in, oh, I don't know, Wyoming in the winter or California in the winter? Brr, it's 70 degrees in December. Yeah, so it's not causing homelessness. All the homeless people coming here, well, they don't plan to get houses anyways. Really what it is the illegals. If we got all the illegals out of California, there'd be a ton of apartments, ton of homes that are being rented. There would be plenty of room for everyone. Crime. Crime is bad in California. They justify it in many ways, but really what it is the woke DAs and the idiots that vote for them letting people out of prison, letting people off for crimes. It's simply bad ideology and stupid people. That's really what it is. I mean, people, Walmart's leaving, an In-N-Out here. No In-N-Out has ever closed in the history of In-N-Out. It's been around for 50 years. But there's one closing up north now because of crime. They just got sick of it. They're like, we can't deal with this anymore. Same with Walgreens, same with a bunch of businesses. They can't take people stealing stuff from them anymore and nobody paying any repercussions for that stealing and then coming back and stealing from them again. So they're just saying, you know what? We're out. We're done. And then, of course, there's the climate change where they say periods of drought, periods of plenty. And that's just simply not true. It's just like the water level's rising. It's a lie. There have been studies, geological studies, that California has had thousands of years ago. California has had 200-year droughts. Not where it's just 3, 4, 5 years. 200 years in a row, it was a drought. And that was when nobody lived here, and it was just some animals. And then they talk about the wildfires and the droughts and the climate change causing it. And like I said, it's not, it's poor management. The wildfires help make forestry healthy, but our poor forestry management has made for wildfires that are way worse than they should be. Now, to end this, I'm going to give you the best quote of the whole article, and it says, "Much of the blame is assigned to liberal leadership." Well, duh. That's what we've been saying for years. Speaking of climate change caused the insurrection. That's right. It caused the insurrection because people just got too hot and it made them mad. So they decided to attack the Capitol. No, I'm just kidding. That's not what happened at all. But that brings us to the word insurrection, which just keeps getting shoved in our faces. I mean, Democrats live, they live the movie Groundhog's Day, where they wake up every day and it's January 6th. But that's just the useful idiots that believe all this crap. The people in charge that are, keep throwing out the word insurrection, you know, the Schumers, the Pelosi's, the Bidens, all of them, they know it wasn't an insurrection. They know it wasn't. But they keep using the word, and there's a reason for that. And the reason they keep using the word insurrection is because they plan to do it again. Now, this is just a thought I had. I have a lot of time to myself. So I think about stuff, and I really do believe this is sort of their plan. But there's going to be a time in this country when they go full-on totalitarian, and people... And I'm not talking about you or me, because we're already there, but just regular people that sort of don't pay attention to this stuff, they're finally going to get fed up. And they're going to go out and want their frustrations heard. Now, whether it's Capitol buildings in states, or mayor's offices, or the national lawn in D.C., it doesn't matter. That's why they're calling everything an insurrection. That's what they'll call it. They'll say, "Oh, it's another insurrection. Oh, no." And they'll say, well, the media will say, "See, America? This is all the MAGA extremists know. We need legislation. We need to break up the Republican Party. We need to set an example and hang some of these people for treason. FBI, go get them." That's what's going to happen. That's why they keep it in the news. That's why they keep saying it. Because they want everything from here on out to be an insurrection. Even though no insurrection took place. Because if it did, Trump, all the J6ers, they would all have been arrested and prosecuted and convicted for insurrection. But they weren't. Okay, so far, because it's been politics heavy and Joe Biden heavy, it's just been sort of a heavy show. So we're going to end with some lighter stuff. We'll do some weird news.
It's time for weird news.
This is March 12th from the UPI. The California Highway Patrol said there was a brief traffic delay on a highway when a pickup truck spilled hundreds of rolls of toilet paper onto the roadway. The CHP said three boxes of toilet paper fell from the back of a Ford F-350 on the Interstate 5 freeway near Calgrove Boulevard in Santa Clarita about 12:20 p.m. Monday. Footage from the scene shows traffic backed up as CHP officers throw rolls of toilet paper over the cement barrier separating the roadway from a construction site. CHP said that the toilet paper mess was mostly cleared up by 12:40 p.m. Now, this is a perfect analogy to California being a shithole. So this Ford F-350 decided, you know what? Maybe this will help clean up some of the homeless poop that's all over the place. We're just going to drop this off right here. Next up in weird news, this is from the AP. Four people were charged Wednesday with concealing a human corpse and tampering with evidence in connection with the discovery in a historic American home. The four suspects have not been charged with the killing of the victim, identified as an 81-year-old man. All four defendants pleaded not guilty to hindering prosecution, tampering with physical evidence, and concealing a human corpse, and were released without bail. What? All right. According to police, a girl walking to school found the body and reported it to her teacher. Police later discovered the body propped up in a chair with a gallon of ice cream in its lap. The suspects in the case, Kamala Harris, Barack Obama, and Nancy Pelosi, could not be found for comment. All right, I may have embellished that one just a little bit. I mean, it was a real story about a dead body, but I just threw in the whole Weekend at Joe's thing. So there you have it, another Denton and Sasquatch show under our belt. This week, for the outro music, we're going to be playing some music from a band called Lunacycle. Now, this guy has been on our show before. If you're like a longtime listener, you may remember him. He is a friend of Denton's, and Denton really liked the song. He wanted it to be played as our outro. And the title of the song is The Big Gamble. As always, we are living in some very strange times, and I'm guessing they're going to get a little stranger. Make sure to tell your family how much you love them. Take the time and spend the time with them, because you never know when that's going to be taken away from you. We are doomed, so drink up, keep your head on a swivel, your powder dry, and have yourself a good night. Then I saw the rain and the storm that came. It seems like yesterday.
Big gamble.